Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Thursday, June 11th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. The federal government has 2 months to finalize a plan to manage the Colorado River, but it's running into resistance. A rough plan from the Bureau of Reclamation would set water releases from Lakes Powell and Meade for a decade, but it would require tricky renegotiations every 2 years between the 7 states in the river basin. Colorado's top river negotiator, Becky Mitchell, said that would be tough.
The constant renegotiation every 2 years is difficult.
The federal plan comes after the 7 states have failed to reach an agreement for years. Carbon County libraries have faced heavy budget cuts in recent years. An initiative on the November ballot could take a larger chunk out of their funding and from other libraries across the state. Wyoming Public Radio's Ellis Urelli Huff has more.
Last year, lawmakers passed a property tax cut. This forced the Carbon County Library System to reduce its free services, including hours and nearly closing 2 branches. Still, almost 44,000 people took advantage of the system. But this November, voters could pass a ballot initiative that would increase the property tax exemption to 50%. Adelaide Myers is chair of the Carbon County Library Board.
I honestly believe that reducing property taxes by another 50% without providing some sort of backfill, say from the state's rainy day fund, would be catastrophic for the whole state.
The board of directors is hoping to continue filling the budget gap with donations, but they say the real support will come from striking down the initiative in November. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ellis Urelli Huff.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has confirmed a new world screwworm case in South Texas after more than a year-long attempt to contain it in Mexico. For the Mountain West News Bureau in Hermosillo, Mexico, Nina Kervinsky has more.
The USDA says in a statement that the parasitic fly larva was found in a 3-week-old calf in Zavala County, Texas, a few hours north of the border city of Laredo. Authorities in the United States and Mexico have been trying since late 2024 to contain the parasite south of the border after a case was discovered in southern Mexico. The United States officially eradicated the parasite in the 1960s. The fly larvae can burrow into the flesh of warm-blooded animals and be deadly. The parasite has not been detected in Sonora, the Mexican state south of Arizona, but the entire border has been closed to cattle for nearly a year. Nina Kravinsky, Hermosillo.
Wyoming is one of 3 states that increased efforts to reduce wildfire fuels last year. KHOL's Sophia Boyd-Fliegel reports firefighter watchdogs are tracking resources this season to see if those downward trends continue.
The acreage of prescribed burns, how often smaller trees and forests are thinned, and how many federal employees are fighting fires. Those are the big questions on the horizon. A former Forest Service Fuels and Forestry Specialist told reporters recently that wildfire mitigation in national forests and grasslands fell by 35% nationwide last year, compared to 2024. Here's Andrea Delgado.
To give you a comparison, that's an area nearly 6 times the size of Rocky Mountain National Park that did not get treated. And without exception, every single state saw less wildfire risk reduction work completed in 2025.
She says Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico saw slight increases in treatment. All other states saw decreases. The National Interagency Fire Center's recent forecast anticipates that parts of western Wyoming, along with the northeast corner and central south, will see significant wildfire risk starting in July. Sophia Boyd-Fliegel, KHOL News.
Tribal agriculture is a major economic force across the region. According to a new report from the University of Arizona, it represents $750 million in total economic output in the Grand Canyon state alone. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Gabriel Pietrazio has more.
According to the study, indigenous farms outnumber all other operations statewide. And while most tribal farms are between 1 and 9 acres in size, they collectively managed more than 80% of Arizona farmlands during 2022. For Hopi dry farmer Michael Katua Johnson, who is a co-author, this report is an important reminder.
The main story is that Indian people are still doing agriculture since before we were in a state, maybe doing it in a different form, but we're still doing that. And I think that our contributions have been really unnoticed.
Including how the vast majority of Arizona farms for commodities like sheep, goats, vegetables, and melons are owned by indigenous peoples. Johnson thinks that trend will continue to grow.
So I really would make the claim that in about 20 years, the only real agriculture in Arizona will be on Indian reservations.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A fund originally meant to support several abandoned horses has gone on to support far more. The Torrington Telegram reports the Save the Goshen 14 GoFundMe campaign was meant to keep 14 abandoned Goshen County horses fed through the winter. Gary Huber and Dave Kronk were reimbursed for months of hay and hauling. Dr. Donal O'Toole took the remaining over $2,000 and donated it to Home on the Range Animal Sanctuary in Laramie and Wagon Tails Shelter in Torrington. Residents of the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota received a large donation thanks to the Pinedale community. The Pinedale Roundup reports Bill Johnson collected furniture, appliances, and other household items from High Country Suites as the hotel completed renovations. A crew of volunteers trucked it to the reservation. With the help of the Oyate Techa Project, nearly 500 families benefited from the donation. 4 new statues have been unveiled in downtown Rock Springs. The Rock Springs Rocket Miner reports the bronzes celebrate individuals who've contributed to the city's history and heritage. The long-term vision is to expand the project along Broadway Street. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. How much revenue did the Mountain West ski industry lose due to this past warm, dry winter? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, when was the last time a Democrat served as the Speaker of the Wyoming House of Representatives? Ednis Kimball Wilkins of Natrona County was elected to the post in 1966 upon the death of then-Speaker Walter Phelan. She served as Speaker until 1967, and she was also the first woman to hold that post. It is worth mentioning that because in those days the House only met on odd-numbered years, and the next year Wilkins was elected to the state Senate, she actually never served in session as Speaker. Congratulations to Jim Martin, the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.